Chapter 32. IV, ye deliverers of Athens from shame, ye avengers of liberty's wrongs, endless ages shall cherish your fame, embalmed in their echoing songs. 1827. End of text. Dreams. Oh, that my young life were a lasting dream, my spirit not awakening, till the beam of an eternity should bring the morrow. Yes, though that long dream were of hopeless sorrow, 'twere better than the dull reality of waking life to him whose heart shall be, and hath been ever, on the chilly earth, a chaos of deep passion from his birth. But should it be that dream eternally continuing as dreams have been to me in my young boyhood, should it thus be given, 'twere folly still to hope for higher heaven. For I have reveled, when the sun was bright in the summer sky, in dreamy fields of light, and left unheedingly my very heart and climes of mine imagining apart from mine own home, with beings that have been of mine own thought, what more could I have seen? 'Twas once and only once, and the wild hour from my remembrance shall not pass. Some power or spell had bound me, 'twas the chilly wind came o'er me in the night, and left behind its image on my spirit, or the moon shone on my slumbers in her lofty noon too coldly, or the stars o'er it was that dream was as that night wind let it pass. I have been happy though, but in a dream I have been happy, and I love the theme dreams. In their vivid coloring of life as in that fleeting, shadowy, misty strife of semblance with reality which brings to the delirious eye more lovely things of paradise and love and all our own, than young hope in his sunniest hour hath known. From an earlier MS, than in the book ed. End of text. In youth I have known one, how often we forget all time, when lone admiring nature's universal throne, her woods, her wilds, her mountains, the intense reply of hers to our intelligence. In youth I have known one with whom the earth in secret communing held as he with it, in daylight, and in beauty, from his birth, whose fervid, flickering torch of life was lit from the sun and stars, whence he had drawn forth a passionate light such for his spirit was fit, and yet that spirit knew not in the hour of its own fervor what had or its power. 2. Perhaps it may be that my mind is wrought to AFEVER asterisk by the moonbeam that hangs o'er, but I will half believe that wild light fraught with more of sovereignty than ancient lore hath ever told, or is it of a thought the unembodied essence, and no more that with a quickening spell doth o'er us pass as dew of the night time, or the summer grass? 3. Doth o'er us pass, when, as th expanding eye to the loved object, so the tear to the lid will start, which lately slept in apathy. And yet it need not be that object, hid from us in life, but common which doth lie each hour before us, but then only bid with a strange sound, as of a harp string broken he awake us, 'tis a symbol and a token, IV, of what in other worlds shall be, and given in beauty by our God. To those alone who otherwise would fall from life and heaven drawn by their heart's passion, and that tone, that high tone of the spirit which hath striven, though not with faith with godliness whose throne with desperate energy he hath beaten down, wearing its own deep feeling as a crown. Asterisk query Erver? Ed. APN. How shall the burial rite be read? The solemn song be sung? The requiem for the loveliest dead, that ever died so young? 2. Her friends are gazing on her, and on her gaudy bier, and weep, oh, to dishonor dead beauty with a tear. 3. They loved her for her wealth and they hated her for her pride, but she grew in feeble health, and they love her that she died. IV. They tell me, while they speak of her austerely broidered pall, that my voice is growing weak, that I should not sing at all, V, or that my tone should be tuned to such solemn song so mournfully, that the dead may feel no wrong. Vi. But she is gone above, with young hope at her side, and I am drunk with love of the dead, who is my bride. Vi. Of the dead dead who lies all perfumed there, with the death upon her eyes, and the life upon her hair. V. Thus on the coffin loud, and long I strike the murmur sent through the great chambers to my song, shall be the accompaniment. X. Thou diedst in thy life's June, but thou didst not die too fair. Thou didst not die too soon, nor with too calm an air. X. From more than fiends on earth, thy life and love are riven, to join the untainted mirth of more than thrones in heaven, Zion. Therefore, to thee this night I will no requiem raise, but waft thee on thy flight, with a paean of old days. Tilde 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 end of text tilde 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 equals 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 notes 30. On the M's written in youth little comment is needed. This section includes the pieces printed for first volume of 1827, which was subsequently suppressed. Such poems from the first and second published volumes of 1829 and 1831 as have not already been given in their revised versions, and a few others collected from various sources. A.L.R. first appeared, with the sonnet O Silence prefixed to it, in 1829 and is, substantially, as originally issued. In the edition for 1831, however, this poem, its author's longest, was introduced by the following 29 lines, which have been omitted in all subsequent collections. Alarf, mysterious star, thou wert my dream all a long summer night, be now my theme. By this clear stream, of thee will I write. Meantime from afar, bathe me in light, I, thy world has not the dross of ours, yet all the beauty, all the flowers, that list our love or deck our bowers in dreamy gardens, where do lie dreamy maidens all the day, while the silver winds of Circassy on violet couches faint away. Little oh I little dwells in THE 11 like unto what on earth we see. Beauty's eye is here the bluest and the falsest and untruest on the sweetest air, doth float the most sad and solemn note, if with thee be broken hearts, joy so peacefully departs, that its echo still doth dwell, like the murmur in the shell. Thou, thy truest type of grief is the gently falling leaf through. Thy framing is so holy sorrow is not melancholy. 31. The earliest version of Amberlin was included in the suppressed volume of 1827, but differs very considerably from the poem as now published. The present draft, besides innumerable verbal alterations and improvements upon the original, is more carefully punctuated, and, the lines being indented, presents a more pleasing appearance, to the eye at least. 32. Tita Helen first appeared in the 1831 volume, as did also E Valley of Unrest as E Valley-ness, Israful, and one or two others of the youthful pieces. The poem styled Omens constituted the preface of the 1829 volume, but with the addition of the following lines. Succeeding years, too wild for song, then rolled like tropic storms along, where, through the garish lights that fly dying along the troubled sky, lay bare, through vistas thunder-riven, the blackness of the general heaven, that very blackness yet doth ring light on the lightning's silver wing. For being an idle boy lang sin, who read Anacreon and drank wine, I early found Anacreon rhymes were almost passionate sometimes, and by strange alchemy of brain his pleasures always turned to pain, his knave to wild desire, his wit, to love, his wine to fire, and so, being young and dipped in folly, I fell in love with melancholy, and used to throw my earthly rest, and quiet all away in jest, I could not love except where death was mingling his with beauty's breath, or hymen. Time, and destiny, were stalking between her and me. Dot 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 dot, but now my soul hath too much room, gone are the glory, and the gloom, the black hath mellowed into gray, and all the fires are fading away. My draught of passion hath been deep, I reveled, and I now would sleep, and after drunkenness of soul succeeds the glories of the bowl, an idle longing night and day, to dream my very life away. But dreams of those who dream as I, aspiringly, are damned, and die. Yet should I swear I mean alone. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.